doing some work on the website this past week, and I don't usually like to listen to myself speak, but I was listening to or making sure that the sermons online worked, and so I listened to the first few words of my sermons, several of my sermons over the last year, and I noticed that several times it sounded like I start talking and I'm out of breath, and which says a couple things. One, I'm in shape. Just walking up three steps. But part of it, I just noticed during that song, you know, when we're singing one of my favorite songs, I mean, I am all in. And that's one of my favorite songs. But what I realize is I have a lot of favorite songs. And we tend to do them right before I speak. And so I get up here, okay, open your Bibles to Matthew 11 in this case. I want to talk a little bit about happiness this morning, and happiness is a topic that has traditionally been dealt with by churchy kinds of people, you know, ministers, pastors, teachers, you know, those kinds of people. But something interesting has been happening in recent years, something I've noticed, and that is scientists are beginning to study happiness. Have you seen any of those? I was reading recently, somebody was saying that they knew, this author was aware of 26 scientific studies that were going on about happiness. But I usually heard about it in church growing up, and one of the things I realized that I heard about happiness growing up is to talk about happiness almost as a kind of a second-rate concept. Like, would say things like this: happiness has to do with circumstances, but joy, that's a fruit of the Spirit, and it has nothing to do with circumstances. Any of you ever hear something like that? Okay, a few of us churchy kinds of people have heard things like that. But, you know, I think that thought will fit nicely in a book that I had an idea for. It's called Things Unhappy Church People Say. Because as much as you want to talk about it, it's kind of a second-rate concept, every one of us wants to be happy. And, you know, it's not unspiritual to want to be happy, and it's not unspiritual to be happy. But we have trouble getting there sometimes. But recently, scientists have been, social scientists and that kind of thing, have been studying happiness. And one of the findings that has emerged has to do with the connection between happiness and gratitude. And so one question they've explored is, who is happy? What kind of people are actually happy? I mean, and I've seen more than one documentary about, you know, looking at people who seemed to be happy, to have found good life, the good kind of life that I believe we're all looking for, and also the good, full life that Jesus said he came to bring. And as you think about it, you know, you might think that happy people are grateful. Kind of in the old church definition, happiness has to do with your circumstances. So if you look at people and you say, well, who would be grateful? It's happy people. It's people who are in circumstances that are going the way they want them to go. Their life's working out. Those should be the most grateful people, right? Well, actually, the results, as the data is coming in from these scientific experiments, they're finding the opposite to be true. Not that, you know, people in really bad circumstances are grateful. The opposite is the cause and effect relationship. It's not happy people who are grateful. What they're finding is that it's grateful people who are happy. And it actually is apart from circumstances. But, you know, circumstances are a very unreliable source for well-being, because they can change in a heartbeat. And sometimes They're completely beyond our control, but gratitude actually is a choice. Gratitude is something you can do, and the scriptures are full of teachings about being grateful, thanking God, praising God for who God is, praising God for what God has done. And it's something that we can choose to engage in. I read this really fascinating story about a guy named Josh Coyne, I think is how you pronounce his name. But he was a student in the School of Business at Boston College. And for his senior thesis, he decided to do an experiment that had to do with the connection between happiness and gratitude. And what he did is he got just 30 of his fellow students at Boston College, and he had them do a survey. And what the survey asked questions that would measure the level of a few things. One was stress level. Another was self-love, whether or not you felt good about yourself, and then also just overall happiness. And so he had these 30 of his friends who participated, took this survey, and it measured their stress levels, level of self-love, and overall happiness. And then the next step in this thesis project was he asked them to write a letter of thanks to someone in their lives. And the person could be living or dead, but they had to tell about who they were grateful for and why they were grateful for that person. And so they wrote out this letter. You can say as much or as little as you want, just be honest. And when they finished that, the next step was, now if the person is living, take out your cell phone and call them and read the letter to them. And if the person is not living, then read the letter just to the camera. So all 30 of them did that, and then the next step was to take the survey again. And the results were amazing. After going through the experience of taking a moment to think about someone they're grateful for, writing it out, and then telling that person or telling the camera while they were grateful for someone who was no longer with them, they took the survey again. Stress levels went down, self-love went up, and overall happiness went up. Had their circumstances changed? No. The only thing that changed is they took a moment to say thank you. They stopped and they took a moment to kind of take an inventory and say, you know, what do I have to be thankful for? And just that little exercise made them happier people. It's not happy people who are grateful. It's grateful people who are happy. And really, what it takes to be grateful is stopping and taking a moment to think about what you have to be thankful for. Guys, that's good news. That's gospel. Like, I can make some choices. I can choose. You know, you can't choose happiness directly, but you absolutely can choose to do something that actually does make you happy. It's an indirect, we're told that we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They just never tell us how to do it. Fortunately, we do have somebody that tells us how to do it, how to go about it. And part of that is observe a discipline of stopping and taking time to think about what you have to be grateful for and express it. Say thank you. have yourself a merry little Thanksgiving. And you know, we have President George Washington instituted Thanksgiving, I think it was in 1789, and it was originally envisioned as a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. And so that's what we've started doing. You know, thanks, George. Jesus, you're welcome. But we, every year around Thanksgiving, we have a time for some public thanksgiving and prayer and scripture reading. Taking a moment to stop and think about what we have to be grateful for. In Matthew chapter 11, I'm going to read 28 through 30. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If somebody told you, you get to imagine, you get to design your own Savior, could you imagine a better Savior than that? Circumstances are an unreliable source for happiness. But Jesus says, in your circumstances, even if they're making you weary and burdened, what I want you to do is come to me. Come into fellowship with me. Come into communion with me. And what you're going to find is you come to me with your burdens, I'll take them off you. You come to me. What you're going to find is that your burdens begin to lift. You can make a choice to come to Jesus, come into his presence. You may not be able to choose lifting your burdens directly, but you can choose to come to Jesus and your burdens get lifted. One of the burdens that we have that we couldn't do anything about, that we couldn't choose directly to get rid of, is the burden of our sin. And Jesus said, "Come to me if you're weary and burdened by your sin, and I'm going to give you rest. I'll take that burden. I will lift it off of you. I'll put it on me, and you take my yoke upon you. And my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come to me. Come into fellowship with me. Come into interaction with me. Come into communion with me." That invitation stands not just in Sunday services, but all day, every day, Jesus is always there saying, "Come to me." It's something we can choose to do if we can just remember to stop and take a moment to think about it. You know, that's what we celebrate. That's one of the things we celebrate when we take communion each week. We eat the bread and we drink the cup. And we remember Christ's body broken and his blood poured out for us, and for the fact that he took our burdens, he lifted our burdens off of us, took them on himself, and he gave us rest. He gave us peace. He gave us joy. He gave us happiness. He gives us full life. It's there for the taking, but we have to come to him. We celebrate. Communion is a celebration of that access, a door. That is the gospel. There was a door that was slammed closed because of our actions, and now the door is flung open because of his actions. We have access. We have a standing invitation to come to him, and we celebrate that this morning. I'm going to ask the band to come up and play a song called Take a Moment. And after that song, I'm going to come lead a prayer, and then we're going to take communion. And then after that, we're going to...